The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, we're going to take an interesting look at the predictions of 2012, the phenomena, with Lawrence Joseph. He'll be here in 15 minutes, and we're going to dissect these and see how much is simply, apocalyptic thinking that has no bearing in reality, but is there any science to back up things that could be happening? For example, today we're going to talk about the ancient Mayan prophecies based on 2 millennia of meticulous astronomical observations. Will it really be the birth of anything new? Since the 1940s, and particularly since 2003, the sun has behaved more tumultuously than any time since the rapid global warming that accompanied the melting of the last ice age. Solar physicists concur that solar activity will next peak at a record-setting level in 2012. Storms on the Sun are related to storms on Earth. The great wave of 2005 hurricanes Katrina, Rita, and Wilma coincided with one of the stormiest weeks in the recorded history of the Sun. The Earth's magnetic field, our primary defense against harmful solar radiation, has begun to dwindle, with cracks comparable in scale to the ozone hole opening up randomly. A pole shift in which such protections fall nearly to zero as the north and south magnetic poles reverse position is underway. Russian geophysicists believe that the solar system has entered an intercellular energy cloud. This cloud is energizing and stabilizing the sun and all the planet atmospheres. Their predictions for catastrophic events resulting from the Earth's encounter with this energy cloud range from 2010, now, over the next 10 years. Berkeley physicists who discovered that the dinosaurs and 70% of all other species on Earth were extinguished by an impact 75 million years ago maintain with 99% certainty that we are now overdue for another such mega catastrophe. The Yellowstone National Park supervolcano, which erupts catastrophically every 600 to 700,000 years, is preparing to erupt again. The most recent eruptions of comparable magnitude at Lake Toba, Indonesia, 74,000 years ago, led to the death of 90% of the world's population at the time. Eastern philosophies such as the I Ching, Chinese Book of Changes, and also the Hindu theology have been matched with the events of supposedly 2012, so we'll find out. So these are just some of the things based upon hard science versus something from the past, the Mayan calendar, and we're going to explore that. Also today, time permitting, and I don't know, I'll have time to get everything in, a commentary that we heard about that was coming last week, and this is an exclusive, the doomsday methane bubble rupture. How the British Petroleum Gulf disaster may have triggered a world-killing event. The unfolding disaster may be about to reach biblical proportions. This is according to Terence Ayham of Global Research. And as you know, Global Research has been incredibly accurate. I'll share it. Not that I'm saying that it will happen. Hope it won't. But at least I want to share with you what some very responsible minds in science are suggesting. And then, are veterans being given deadly cocktails to treat their post-traumatic stress disorder? And finally, from the environment, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. How big is it? How about larger than the entire United States? Anything we can do about it in a constructive way? No. Surely there's something. No. Remember I told you about those tipping points? At a certain point, if we don't choose to make something important, if we don't address it, it will tip. It's tipped. And this is the only program in the world that will discuss this, again, with good science. Tomorrow, one of the most important interviews you will ever hear from a woman you've never heard of, Professor Elizabeth Satoris, evolutionary biologist, futurist, and former professor specializing in design of living systems at MIT. Then we have Paul Kingsnorth, one of the most creative thinking environmental activists in the world, former editor of The Ecologist, talking about why our life as we've been living it is not sustainable in the United States. Dr. Gwen Dyer, she is a real heavyweight in what she does, and we're going to talk about the whole pro-climate change research scandal, and who are all these people who have ended up making us believe, or at least those who are willing to be convinced that global warming is not real. And finally, Wim Pfaff, regarded by many as one of the leading authorities on the history of America's foreign policy. We're going to talk about how the U.S. government and its most influential supporters imagines itself continuing to shape our foreign policy and what kinds of outcomes that going to be, especially when we have a war making as a primary reason to exist. So, positive programming for progressive minds. Let's go to the latest in health and healing. Resveratrol, I talk about it all the time. And I believe we should get it in all of its forms, from pure organic grape juice. That's a good way to do it. In fact, I just made myself some grape juice frozen icicles. Just put them in a tray with frozen organic Concord grape juice, let it freeze, and then throw them into a blender and blend them up with a little water, the spring water. It's delicious. And way to finish a workout, great way to quench your thirst, but you're also getting resveratrol in there. If you're eating grapes, that's another way to get good resveratrol, but if you're going to take 200 to 400 milligram capsules, also good. Here's from the American Journal of Pathology. Resveratrol, found also in blueberries, I might mention, promotes longevity, prevents the aging process from accelerating, helps prevent heart disease, helps you maintain your weight, normalizes your cholesterol levels, helps you with diabetes, and now one more. Let's add it to the list. It can help prevent some of the top causes of blindness. Researchers at Washington University School of Medicine, St. Louis, have documented that resveratrol stops out-of-control blood vessel growth, what is called angiogenesis in the eye. This discovery means resveratrol could preserve vision in age-related macular degeneration, the leading cause of blindness in the United States, people over 50, diabetic retinopathy, which causes vision loss in about 20% of people with diabetes, and retinopathy of prematurity, and that's in premature babies experience an obstruction of blood flow to the retina. And that causes blindness in 50,000 infants per year. Quote, a great deal of research has identified resveratrol as an anti-aging compound, and given our interest in age-related eye diseases, we wanted to find out whether it would work, and it did. So, good news. Blindness, eye care, eye prevention of disease, resveratrol. How much magnesium should you take with your vitamin D? This is the latest research, and it says that when you're taking magnesium, quote, as more people begin to realize the amazing benefits of vitamin D, more people are naturally beginning to get more vitamin D, either through supplements or sunshine. The downside of this intake, however, is that more people are having little knowledge what happens when they take it. Vitamin D should also be taken with magnesium. If you don't take the two in the same day, you could end up with muscle cramps, heart palpitations, constipations, headaches, and insomnia. And generally, I suggest the following. 1,000 units of vitamin D and 500 milligrams of magnesium. Do those two together, that's a good combination, and then you're doing something really good for yourself. I'm, of course, a major proponent of exercise. Here's one more reason to do it. From the University of Gothenburg in Sweden, the positive effects of exercise while growing up last much longer than what we previously understood or believed. New findings suggest that physical activity, when you're younger, increases bone density and bone size, which means you reduce osteoporosis later in life. And that's good news. So just keep exercising every day. I'm suggesting 1 hour aerobic, 6 days a week, and 3 days a week of resistance exercise. Now, for all the women in this audience who have had trouble maintaining their weight for a lot of different reasons, some of which have nothing to do with a woman's overeating. There are many women who will not overeat and gain weight. That's the reason I did my first major PBS special on weight called It's Not Your Fault, You're Fat. I would later do another one called Kiss Your Fat Goodbye. They're both based upon the premise that a lot of women are allergic to foods. And when you have an allergic reaction to a particular food, one of the ways that allergy manifests itself is by weight gain. In fact, to test this theory, I put 500 individuals on a weight loss program, including caloric restriction, exercising, supplements, eating right. But one group, I did none of that. All I did was change every food that they could possibly be allergic to or test allergic to. That's the group that lost the most weight and the quickest. The weight just poured off of them when they gave up what they were allergic to. What were they mainly allergic to? Peanuts, dairy products in any form, wheat in any form, and artificial sweeteners. Gave those up, weight came off. Here's one more reason to get the weight off, and this is from the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. What they found was, this was done on 8,000 women. They found that if you're overweight, you're going to impair your brain function and you will adversely alter your memory. You're going to have poor memory and poor brain function if you're overweight as a woman. So let's get the weight off in a healthy way for all the right reasons. And finally, cashew seed extract is an effective anti-diabetic. This is brand new. This is from Molecular Nutrition and Food Research. And it was done at a major university, University of Montreal. Cashew seed extract shows promise as an effective anti-diabetic, according to this study. And so, who knew? No one knew. Diabetes, as we know, is caused by a person who has sustained high blood sugar that does not respond well to their natural insulin and doesn't produce enough of the natural hormones. By the way, over 220 million people are affected by diagnosed diabetes, and probably triple that from undiagnosed diabetes. And you have diabetes, you're going to have heart disease, kidney disease, stroke, cancer, arthritis, depression at a very high level. And in this one, quote, of all the extracts tested, only cashew seed extract significantly stimulated blood sugar absorption by muscle cells. This is according to the professor of pharmacology at University of Montreal's Faculty of Medicine. Quote, extracts of other plants had no such effect, indicating the cashew seed extract likely contains active compounds that have anti-diabetic properties. Now, the cashew tree has long been alleged to be effective in anti-inflammatory agents, helping people with high blood sugar and all kinds of conditions. Well, this is, and by the way, it's very popular in Ayurvedic medicine. India grows a lot of cashews. And by the way, the cashews I've seen coming from India are humongous, like three times, they're like little golf balls. They're very big compared to American cashews. So that's good. Meditation helps increase attention span. This is from Science Daily, mainstream science telling us from Psychological Science Peer Review Journal that, quote, it's nearly impossible to pay attention to one thing for a long time. A new study looks at whether meditation can improve a person's ability to be attentive and find that meditation training helps people do better at focusing for a long time on a task that requires them to distinguish small differences between things they see. The research was inspired by work by Buddhist monks who spend years training in meditation. Quote, you wonder if the mental skills, the calmness, the peace that they express, if those things are a result of their very intensive training, or if they are just very special people to begin with. This is according to the University of California, Davis researchers, and they applied the principles of Buddhist meditation, and they selected 60 people for the study, and they found that it made an enormous difference when they meditated in maintaining concentration. You can watch today's program by going to progressiveradionetwork.com or garynahl.com. I'm streaming live from our studios in New York City. Back in a moment with my guests. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. We'll be going to my guest in a few moments. He's just getting back to his office, Larry Joseph, and we're going to talk about the hard science, the credible science behind 2012. And then I'm going to give you a commentary, one that will, it's not meant to scare people, but I believe we at least should know what some very credible people are saying could be going on that we're not told about. A doomsday methane bubble rupture? I'm going to talk about that. But first, a couple things. I want to say thank you for all the people who have been sending in your ideas about questions you have about how to have a healthy, happy, perfect relationship. I've had singles and couples, young and old, all types, gays and straights. I'm covering all that in my lecture next Wednesday evening. Now, all my lectures, all 5,000 plus I've done, every single one has been packed to the gills. This will be no exception. Today will probably be the last day you'll be able to call in and reserve a seat. So if you'd like to join me next Wednesday evening for about two and a half hours on the topic of how to have a perfect relationship, and I'm dealing with everything that can go wrong in relationships and how men look at relationships, how women look at them, how older generations, younger generations, how to have a good one. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. We are now in the process of trying to get this stream, so we'll have people there, plus you'll be able to call in and watch it anywhere in the world. 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. That's our number for next week. So I look forward to that. And today on this last day, I'm going to take any questions on that because I've got enough for five lectures right now on it. Now, one more thing. We managed to find here in the office, and it was brought to my attention this morning, four books. No More Diabetes. This is a pre-publication book. I'm holding it in my hand now, so if you're looking in. This is a book that will be published in January when it goes out on the PBS stations that are going to be carrying it in there. I've already done my testing on two stations. I have one more in Erie, Pennsylvania I'm going to be doing on August 5th. So if you live in the Erie, Pennsylvania area, you can watch it live. And it tested as a monster hit. So it's going to be all over the place. So these were the books that were full books, the same identical book. It's just that this is a book that was printed before it's officially released in 6 months from now. And now we found four copies. Now, in No More Diabetes, Preventing and Reversing Diabetes Naturally, it's a big book, and it's definitive. First and foremost, I want to go through the protocols that I use in helping people improve or reverse their diabetes. And they're all in here. So no matter what questions you have about diabetes, you're going to find your answers. You're going to find which foods to take, which foods you shouldn't, which nutrients and why and how much, what the ranges are and what it'll do for you. Because I'm a great believer in giving more information what a person would normally even think to ask. For example, I have here coffee berry extracts, 100 milligrams, some coffee arabica, the whole fruit extract, standardized 50%, total phenolic acids, 50 milligrams, and 15,000 micromoles per gram of ORAC 3 times a day. You're not going to get that detail. Now, why? You don't know a thing about coffee berry extract. It's not like drinking a cup of coffee. That's not it. So I take you through what will help your body, your pancreas, your cells, your eyes, and I give you real deep protocols. I mean, in-depth deep protocols. I have a big chapter. And then I also show the traditional approaches and why I'm opposed to it. And then I interviewed the world's leading authorities, Dr. David Edelston, for example, and Dr. Julian Whitaker, Dr. Jill Barron. All these different people are interviewed, and I have their protocols in here as well, because I believe in bringing all good minds to the table. I believe in putting as many good ideas out as possible so that you see what to do. If you're underweight, overweight, if you're obese, extremely obese, I have protocols for you to lose weight. If you're a sugar addict, I show you what the danger of that sugar is and what foods you can eat and shouldn't eat, but really good list. I show you what you have to do to lose weight. I have a 60-page chapter just on losing weight and getting rid of those toxins, detoxifying from all the fat that's on your body, because the pollutants they're absorbed into your fat tissue. And then overcoming depression. I have a big chapter, because you show me someone who's diabetic and I'll show you someone who in 90% of the cases is depressed. And then I give you the best breakfast. You think you have to eat a boring breakfast? Not at all. For example, nutty cinnamon cereal, Amish country gruel, banana coconut walnut cereal, barley in the morning, blueberry blast. These are each different complete recipes. Breakfast from the Andes, rice and nuts, amaranth smoothie, carob oat delight, red quinoa, sweet rice, Irish oatmeal, hot spelt cereal, fluffy raisin amaranth, mango quinoa, power oats, raspberry banana pancakes. And again, I have power foods, and so Vermont pumpkin. Those are just, and I've got page after page after page, and I've got shakes, watermelon shake, and apple cherry shake, and avocado and strawberry shake, and blueberry and papaya macadamia nut shake. I have dozen pages or more of just drinks, tangerine kiwi cocktail, and tangy strawberry shake, and then lunches, spicy pasta and black bean soup, eggplant parmesan sandwich, bean salad with macadamias and mustard, macaroni, done the right way, of course, broccoli stir fry, cream of pumpkin soup, vegetable sausages, but you never had a vegetable sausage. For those of you who like sausages, it tastes like sausage, but it's all made from vegetables, tempeh with rice, and then just dozens of salads. I love an endive moldy olive salad. And how about a hot dulse brown rice salad? I like to marinate my dulse in mustard, and gives it a great taste. I blend the mustard and a mango into what tastes like a chutney, so you get the sweet sour quality. Arugula with spicy hummus, a broccoli tortellini salad. So those are some of the. Then I have dinner recipes, like a broccoli mushroom quiche, great lentil burgers, Mediterranean olive and rice pasta. Anyhow, I've got all these hundreds of recipes, and I've got testimonials. 200 people that I've helped, and it's all in here. You get to read their Etta, female. I had arthritis, psoriasis, no energy, and uterine cancer. I had a hysterectomy. My cancer returned. I wanted to heal and experience total health. I found the right place at the right time with Gary. My cancer is in full remission. I've lost 20 pounds. The psoriasis is gone. My hair and skin have grown back looking great. No more arthritis. That's just one. I've got 200 in here. And so anyhow, and then references in the back. The big book is called No More Diabetes. Now, Richard Polnesky, who just came down for production. Richard, you're putting the final music that we just selected on for the film that's going to premiere tomorrow all over the world. We're having a worldwide premiere tomorrow of Who's Killing Our Vets? Are American veterans the left behinds, the forgotten Americans? And nobody can watch this without bringing tears to their eyes. I mean, it's a... No, I filmed it. It still moves me. So we're looking forward to that. But also, we have the extended version, the 3.5-hour version that you edited, of Preventing and Reversing Diabetes Naturally.
Absolutely. And this is really arguably one of the finest health videos that we've created, not only because of the sheer breadth of the information in there and the multitude of health experts, MDs, PhDs, psychiatrists, psychologists that we have in there discussing the really the best of the best in protocols and approaches, but because of the fact that we took such a multifaceted approach that's not just dealing with it from the physical perspective, but also very much from the psychological perspective of lifestyle choices, as well as the psychiatric perspective of stress management, how the stress response system can affect pancreatic function and glucose metabolism, et cetera, et cetera. But it's really nice to see when you see some of the doctors in here, like Dr. Keith Berkowitz and Julian Whitaker and Christopher Calliope and Dr. Raphael Kelman, all of them are board-certified MDs, but bring to the table their own unique path of holistic training. And that unique path of holistic training brings a slightly different approach to attacking the condition. It's very, very powerful, and I think people can benefit from it over and over again, not just for diabetes, but I think what a lot of people don't realize is how much diabetes and pre-diabetes...
Heart disease.
Exactly.
Cancer, overweight,
right.
Stroke, elevated cholesterol, because when we built the set, we built a state-of-the-art set. We brought them in from around the United States. Julian Whitaker's in the film. We selected people who have a history of helping diabetes, but they also help all these other conditions. It's all the same protocol, and we have different approaches, but in 3.5 hours you're getting some phenomenal input. So we have 4 copies of the book and the video. You can buy the book by itself, the video by itself, or the two together. Great bargain. $70 value for $30.
Wow.
And it all goes, every penny goes to this non-commercial station. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Richard, I'll let you get back upstairs. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
and
Gary.
Tomorrow we premiere the new, and we've never done this before. This is the first time ever in 100 films. We've never premiered a film on the internet. We've
right.
always gone into movie theaters or television or PBS. So this is something new for us.
Right, and the beauty is it'll get out to the world instantaneously.
But also we have with it what we've been working on. I've spent, I guess, 7 months on the in-depth original investigative reporting article on Gulf War Syndrome
right.
and post-traumatic stress disorder. And why we have 800,000 vets in any given year who are homeless in the United States. The numbers are staggering, and these are official statistics. You got the charts yesterday because at the end of the film we're rolling official statistics.
Right.
It only came about because of a lawsuit.
Right.
That the VA, under Freedom of Information, had to reveal the truth that 52% of all soldiers who've gone to the Gulf Theater have been hurt, injured.
Right.
With disease or injury. So it's a powerful film. So you're getting a film tomorrow free, and you're getting the article free as a public service. Lots of work, lots of scholarship, lots of time has gone into it. That's tomorrow, and that'll be on YouTube and our website and Progressive Radio Network. And then it's off to the next big one that we're working on. Okay, thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Gary.
But for today, for those of you who want those four copies of No More Diabetes, call in at 877-627-5065. I'm Gary Nall. Our guest is now on the line. We just found him. We're going to talk to him in just a second. Please stay with us. I'd like to say hello to all of you. You're listening from all over the world. My guest is now from Southern California on the line, Lawrence Larry Joseph. He's a seasoned investigative journalist who has been writing on science, nature, politics, and business for over a quarter century for the New York Times, Discovery, Huffington Post. And during the past several years, he's been conducting an in-depth research into the 2012 phenomena. But not just the religious dimensions, like the Mayan prophecies. But I'm talking about hard science, such as contemporary solar physics and global warming. His earlier book, Apocalypse 2012, An Investigation into Civilization's End, led to the creation of a website, Apocalypse 12, which has had about 20 million hits. His most recent book is Aftermath, A Guide to Preparing for and Surviving Apocalypse 2012. Nice to have you with us today, Larry.
Pleasure to be here.
Larry, I feel we should begin with a few basics for listeners to understand better the sun's influence upon the earth. And for most people, the sun is simply out there giving us light during the day and darkness when it's not present, a reason to sunbathe in the summer and wear warmer clothes in the winter. However, as you have outlined in great detail, the sun has far more dramatic consequences upon what we experience here on Earth: storms, hurricanes, volcanic activity, periodic disruptions in human activities, especially related to technology. So I ask you first to summarize more about the sun's activities upon the Earth, and then explain to us the meaning of the Carrington effect, sunblast of huge coronal mass injections, or CMEs, and then why it's important to know about these as the year 2012 approaches. The forum is yours.
Well, there's a great deal more to know about the sun than we've ever considered. It's moody. It goes through its phases. I mean, the sun traditionally is the great constant in the sky. And when Galileo first discovered sunspots, at least was the first Westerner to report that, the church denounced him as a heretic because the blotches on the face of the sun, as they were seen, were imperfections, and that clashed with the divine perfection theology of the day. Maybe we are not still bound exactly by that belief, but it lingers on, even if we're not consciously aware of it. The sun has storms. These storms are called sunspots, and from sunspots often issue giant explosions, billion-ton or more blasts of proton radiation that, depending on where they emanate from, can hit the Earth. Now, normally, this isn't a problem. The Earth's magnetic shield is remarkably effective. One could say its purpose is to deflect these storms, and instead of letting them hit the surface of the Earth where we are, the radiation is channeled round and round the Earth in what are called the Van Allen radiation belts. Sometimes when these belts spill over, when they're too full of this radiation, you get phenomena like the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, and they're lovely, and so nobody really worries much about that. But occasionally, these storms hit the Earth and have greater consequences. There's lots of research being conducted today as to the connection between, I call them solar EMP blasts, electromagnetic pulse blasts, and everything from the weather to earthquakes and volcanoes. This is a fascinating body of research, and I'd like to talk to you about it a little later on, but it's still in its, I would say, that research is still in its infancy. It's difficult to follow the causal chain between solar blast and, say, the stirring up of a hurricane or the igniting of an earthquake. But there's a few things we do know that are extremely serious and moreover, we can do something about. Particularly important, as you mentioned, is the Carrington effect. The Carrington event was an 1859 solar blast, the largest one recorded ever to have hit the Earth. I mean, there may have been many larger, but we haven't really been recording these things for so long. But it was a gigantic solar EMP blast that hit. When it hit in 1859, hardly did any damage. It was, in fact, it was more spectacular than anything else. You could read a book at midnight in the Rockies, and the northern lights moved down to the equator, and telegraph offices had a kind of a rough time. There were some fires and things of that nature, but it was less a catastrophe, certainly, than it was a spectacular event. Problem is that today, were we to be hit by a solar blast the size of the Carrington event, our civilization could well, in fact, probably would be knocked to its knees. And that's not just according to me. That's according to a landmark study, December 2008, issued by the National Academy of Sciences, which found that our electrical power grid, which supplies electricity to virtually every home and business and every place else in our country and around the world, is gravely vulnerable to solar blasts. Were a blast the size of the Carrington event to hit today, up to 130 million Americans would find themselves without electricity for months or years. Again, according to the National Academy of Sciences, they're not a fringe group. I mean, it's the closest thing we have to a Supreme Court of scientific opinion in the United States, really, for much of the rest of the world. So, and think a moment what it would mean to be without electricity for that long. I mean, it's not just no telecom. It's, in many cases, no water or gasoline because the pumps are electric.
Or no heat.
Yeah. No refrigeration, no fresh foods and medicine. Deeply compromised law enforcement and military security. Electricity is the cornerstone technology. It's the taken-for-granted technology that everything else in our daily life depends on, just about.
How about our automobiles, the electric grid in our automobiles?
Well, when the gasoline pumps don't work, the cars aren't going anywhere, after they run out of what they've got in the tank.
What about the satellites that effectively handle virtually all of our telephones?
Absolutely. Ironically, the satellite system itself is pretty well protected, comparatively well protected against solar blasts. But the satellite system isn't going to do us much good if it can't report to the Earth. I mean, if the ground stations are fried. So, the satellites handle phone calls, funds transfers, basic surveillance, and just imagine if all of a sudden, God forbid, the electricity went out and the satellites were unable to tell whether or not a nuclear weapon, whether that was caused by a nuclear weapon, an incoming weapon, or something else. I mean, I'd have some itchy trigger fingers interested in shooting now and asking questions later. It's an absolutely nightmare perfect scenario for evildoers and malefactors and crazies. So we have to safeguard our electricity. And maybe the most astonishing thing about this all, at least astonishing to me, is that there's good news. And there's progress being made. I was shocked to learn that last month, the United States House of Representatives voted unanimously to take steps to protect the power grid from solar blasts. Now, when's the last time those folks ever acted in concert like that? I mean, in this poisonous partisan age where they won't cross the aisle to perform the Heimlich maneuver, somehow, I think the vote was 437 to nothing. So this concern about solar blasts, which I've been writing about for 6 years now, until recently was dismissed or, considered hypothetical or whatever, politely nodded through. But thanks to a lot of hard work on some very by some very dedicated people, the issue has been brought to the fore. Now, the bad news is just because the House passed it doesn't mean that the Senate will. And one of the reasons I'm particularly privileged to be on your show today is that the Senate bill that we'll consider this comes up for consideration in the next few weeks. I mean, this is go time. This is the time to get it done. The Senate bill is this huge energy bill, which you probably have discussed on your show. I mean, it's this
yes.
ramshackle amalgam of coal versus solar and politics and pork, and everybody wants to look good and make the other side look bad, and all that crapola that is maddening. But buried within this, it's called Acela. The name of the Senate bill is Acela, the American Clean Energy Leadership Act, and buried within it is a tiny little section 301 that protects mandates protection of the grid from cyber attacks, not from solar EMP assaults, but from cyber attacks. So the goal here, it's very specific, kind of dry, but real important, is to get the House language, the House bill's language about protecting the power grid from solar electromagnetic pulse or EMP, and add it to the Senate bill. You get that done, we've taken a giant step towards protecting our way of life. And one of the wonderful things about what we need to do to protect ourselves is it's not that hard. I mean, I've been writing for more than 25 years, and I never thought my life's work would add up to surge suppressors. You know, it's surge suppressors is not sexy. It's not, you know, the exalted self-image that well, at least I had kind of hoped for, but it's what we need. I mean, you know, I can't believe that I pray to the dear Lord for surge suppressors, but I do, because just the way you plug your computer into a surge suppressor to protect it from electrical power surges, we need to plug the grid into surge suppressors to protect it. And here's what happens if we don't. If we get hit by one of these solar blasts, and by the way, the next climax of these blasts is by scientific consensus in late 2012, which is first how I got onto all this. It may well be a coincidence or whatever, but it led me in the right direction, studying 2012 and learning that this next solar climax was coming then. A blast comes, hits the Earth, barrels through the Earth's protective magnetic field. The current goes into the ground. It's only a few volts per square meter. It's not like we're all going to get sizzled or fried or anything like that. We would not notice it. But then it comes back up from the ground and fries the transformers. And the transformers are the nodal points that hold the grid together. Now, what happens when you fry a transformer with this kind of current, and it's happened so we know, is it's not that it just gets broken and you can dispatch a utility crew to, you know, check it out and fix it. These transformers, their copper windings get fused, and you need to replace them, which is no easy task because, one, they each weigh over 100 tons, so you can't stick it on a plane, and, two, the world market for transformers has a 1 to 3 year waiting list. So we could really
wow.
be...
serious situations in people in terrible climates. You could see people dying of heat, exhaustion from in tropical climates if they don't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
Look how many we saw die in Europe. 27,000 died when
we hit the
French heat wave. You could have people in colder climates also die without electricity and even the electricity necessary to get their oil burner going. People don't realize how intimately connected electricity is to our life. You've made a very good point there, and I thank you for that, Larry. One last point I'd like for you to address.
Sure.
Although most of us are familiar with our Earth's atmosphere, which contains many of the gases that affect climate and climate change, the Earth also has a magnetic field that extends far beyond our atmosphere. Tell us about what purpose this magnetic field serves to protect life on Earth, and then share with us the information gathered from the Themis monitoring satellite that discovered a massive loss of the Earth's magnetic field in 2008, and what are the ramifications this event of an immense CME event, possibly in 2012?
Well, the state of the Earth's magnetic field is one of the most really terrifying areas that I've had to contemplate. The Earth's magnetic field emanates from the molten core, goes on up in all directions through the surface, and out several thousand miles into space. In fact, it goes up to about 20, 25,000 miles, depends on how you define it, where the second of the two Van Allen radiation belts, the outermost of the two, exist. And basically, the Earth's magnetic field repels solar radiation blasts. That's what it does for us. It you know, it keeps the radiation from coming down, hitting the surface, and hurting us, and causing cancers and many other things. It's not a perfect shield, but it's a great one. There has been, in my first book, Apocalypse 2012, my first book on this subject, there had been question as to whether there might be a pole shift going on, meaning that the polarity of the north and south poles are going to shift. Apparently that happens every 70,000 years ago, scientists speculate. And there's some indication that a pole shift has commenced. And that would take, it's really a guess on their part, but 2,000 to 3,000 years. And during this shift process, the Earth's magnetic field weakens because it's being, you know, rearranged, and multiple poles pop up here and there. That may well be beginning. And by the way, just to clarify, there was a big movie called 2012, which shows a pole shift, the physical geological poles, the landmass is actually moving around. That's not going to happen. That's Hollywood sci-fi and entertainment if you enjoy that. But I'm not talking about a physical dislocation. I'm talking about a flip in polarity, just to make that clear. But until recently, it was considered more of, you know, abstract scientific interest, and, you know, it takes a couple thousand years, and maybe we'll be able to detect some readings. Well, boom. December 2008, once again, a squadron of five NASA solar research satellites, five of them, called Themis, the mission is, unexpectedly flew through a giant breach in the Earth's magnetic field, a pole-to-equator hole.
Wow. Yeah. That's serious business.
It is. And, you know, I read a lot of science articles, and I've never seen so many exclamation marks in my life. This is, by the way, it's called Giant Breach in Earth's Magnetic Field at science@nasa.gov, in case anybody wanted to look it up, because it's grimly entertaining. The project leader was so shocked at this finding, he said that it was as though the sun rose in the west.
Hmm.
And what this means for us is that, hey, the shields are down, Scotty.
Okay.
The shield that's supposed to protect us from these radiation blasts has just opened up this giant hole. We don't know why. We don't know when it's going to close. But yet we're moving ever closer to 2012, when the next climax of these blasts is coming. And, oh, yeah, the National Academy of Sciences, that venerable organization, says our electric power grid is exquisitely vulnerable and becomes more vulnerable each year as more and more current is carried on it to solar blasts that would be that much more devastating coming in without being impeded by the magnetic field. So we've got a situation on our hands here.
Yes, we do, and it doesn't do a whole lot of good to pay attention to Sarah Palin's daughter going back into a relationship, what's happening with Lindsay Lohan. We're not paying attention to the important issues in our lives, and that is something that we must come to grips with. We have to pay attention, whether we don't understand science, don't like hearing about it. If we don't come to grips and look at the problems and look for solutions, then we have no one but ourselves to blame when suddenly one day we wake up and we don't have electricity, or what happened, and why wasn't I informed, or why didn't I know about it? Well, you were watching American Idol, you're watching An Apprentice, you didn't think this was important. It is. Thank you very much, Larry. Joseph, for your book, Aftermath, and for you being out there and giving us a clarion moment. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment with an important commentary. You won't want to miss this.
Your love lifting me high.
From Global Research, ominous reports are leaking past the British Petroleum Gulf Salvage Operation news blackout that the disaster unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico may be about to reach biblical proportions. 251 million years ago, a mammoth undersea methane bubble caused massive explosions, poisoned the atmosphere, and destroyed more than 96% of all life on Earth. Experts agree that what is known as the Permian extinction event was the greatest mass extinction event in the history of the world. 55 million years later, another methane bubble ruptured, causing more mass extinctions during the thermal maximum time. That lasted 100,000 years. Those subterranean seas of methane virtually reshaped the planet when they explosively blew from deep beneath the waters of what is today called the Gulf of Mexico. Now, worried scientists are increasingly concerned the same series of catastrophic events that led to the worldwide death back then may be happening again, and no known technology can stop it. The bottom line? British Petroleum's Deepwater Horizon drilling operation may have triggered an irreversible cascading geological apocalypse that will culminate with the first mass extinction of life on Earth in many millions of years. The oil giant drilled down miles into the geologically unstable region and may have set the stage for the eventual premature release of a methane mega bubble. Now, Northwestern University's Gregory Ryskin, a biochemical engineer, has a theory. The oceans periodically produce massive eruptions of explosive methane gas. He's documented the scientific evidence that such an event was directly responsible for the mass extinctions that occurred 55 million years ago. Many geologists concur with him. Quote, the consequences of a methane-driven oceanic eruption for marine and terrestrial life are likely to be catastrophic. Figuratively speaking, the erupting region boils over, ejecting a large amount of methane and other gases, CO2, H2S, into the atmosphere and flooding large areas of the land. Whereas pure methane is lighter than air, methane loaded with water droplets is much heavier and thus spreads over the land, mixing with air in the process and losing water as rain. The air-methane mixture is explosive as at methane concentrations between 5 and 15%. As such mixtures form in different locations near the ground and are ignited by lightning, explosions and conflagrations destroy most of the terrestrial life and also produce great amounts of smoke and carbon dioxide. Unquote. The warning signs of an impending planetary catastrophe of such great magnitude that the human mind has difficult time grasping, be the appearance of large fissures or rifts splitting open the ocean floor, a rise in the elevation of the seabed, and a mass of venting of methane and other gases in the surrounding water. For those of you listening on WMYE, I thank you very much. We'll say goodbye to you, and I'll continue this commentary on the internet on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Such occurrences can lead to the rupture of the methane bubble containment. It can then permit the methane to breach the subterranean depths and undergo an explosive decompression as it catapults into the Gulf waters. All three warning signs are documented to be occurring right now in the Gulf. First, Ground Zero, the Gulf Coast. The people and property located on the greater expanse of the Gulf Coast are sitting at Ground Zero. They will be the first exposed to poisonous cancer-causing chemical gases. They will be the ones that initially experience the full fury of a methane bubble exploding from the ruptured seabed. The media has been kept away from the emergency salvage measures being taken to forestall the biggest catastrophe in human history. The federal government has warned them away from the epicenter of the operations with the threat of a $40,000 fine for each infraction and possibly a felony arrest. Why is the press being kept away? Where it is, the disaster is escalating. Methane is now streaming through the porous rocky seabed at an accelerated rate and gushing from the borehole of the first relief well. The EPA is on record that rig number one is releasing methane, benzene, hydrogen sulfide, and other toxic gases. Workers there now wear advanced protection, including state-of-the-art military-issue gas masks. Reports filtering through from oceanologists and salvage workers in the region state that the upper-level strata, the ocean floor, is succumbing to greater and greater pressure. That pressure is causing a huge expanse of the seabed, estimated by some as spreading over thousands of square miles surrounding the British Petroleum wellhead, to bulge. Some claim the seabed in the region has risen by as much as 30 feet. The fractured British Petroleum wellhead, site of the former Deepwater Horizon, has become the epicenter of frenetic attempts to quell the monstrous flow of methane. The subterranean methane is pressurized at 100,000 pounds per square inch. According to Matt Simmons, an oil industry expert, the methane pressure at the wellhead has now skyrocketed to a terrifying 40,000 pounds per square inch. Another well-respected expert, Dr. John Kessler of Texas A&M University, has calculated that the ruptured well is spewing 60% oil and 40% methane. The normal methane amount that escapes from a compromised well is about 5%. More evidence, a huge gash on the ocean floor, like a ragged wound hundreds of feet long, has now been reported by the NOAA research ship, the Thomas Jefferson. Before the curtain of the government-enforced news blackout again descended abruptly, scientists aboard the ship voiced their concerns that the widening rift may go down miles into the earth. That gash, too, is hemorrhaging oil methane. It's 10 miles away from the British Petroleum epicenter. Other new fissures have been spotted as far as 30 miles away. Measurements of the multiple oil plumes now appearing miles from the wellhead indicate that as much as 124,000 barrels of oil are erupting into the Gulf waters daily. That's about 5,208 million gallons of oil per day. Most disturbing of all, methane levels in the water are now calculated as being almost 1 million times higher than normal. If the methane bubble, a bubble that could be as big as 20 square miles, erupts with titanic force from the seabed into the Gulf, every ship, every drilling rig, every structure within the region of the bubble will immediately sink. All the workers, engineers, Coast Guard personnel, marine biologists will die instantly. Next, the ocean bottom will collapse, instantaneously displacing over a trillion cubic feet of water or more, and creating a towering supersonic tsunami, annihilating everything along the coast and well inland. Like a thermonuclear blast, a high-pressure atmospheric wave could precede the tidal wave, flattening everything in its path before the water arrives. And when the roaring tsunami does arrive, it will scrub away everything in its path. Some environmentalists expect experts are calling what's pouring into the land, sea, and air from the seabeds' breach as chemical cocktails of poison. Areas of dead zones devoid of oxygen are driving species of fish into foreign waters, killing plankton and other tiny sea life that are the foundation for the entire food chain, and polluting the air with cancer-causing chemicals and poisonous rainfalls. A report from one observer in South Carolina documents oily residue left behind after a recent thunderstorm. And before the news blackout fully descended, the EPA released data that benzene levels in New Orleans had rocketed to 3,000 parts per billion. Benzene is extremely toxic, and even short-term exposure can cause agonizing death from cancerous lesions years later. The people of Louisiana have been exposed for more than 2 months, and the benzene levels may be much higher now. Doomsday? Possibly. Possibly not. I'm merely giving you an insight. We like to be ahead of the curve. I hope I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, good. That's a good thing on this. But what if I'm right? I'm Gary Nall. We have Kara in studio and Mike Fader standing by to do his Turning Point program. Where's Mike at? I don't see him out there. Is he there?
Oh, he's here, Gary. Hi, he's Mike. Hanging out in the back.
Good. He'll be in here in just a moment.
All right, Gary. Well, I guess briefly then I'll ask you one email from a woman in the Bronx. Her name is Tyra. And she wants to know, Gary, why didn't the legislators pass a bill to protect credit card holders for poor people like me? She said they are charging me fees on top of late fees, and there's something wrong with Congress for letting these banks get away with this. And she just wants your help, Gary.
Okay, well, point of fact, if you ever, here, it's a game. Let's say that you go into a supermarket and you buy some groceries, and you have a total in the bank of $100. You buy $20 worth of groceries. But let's say later that day your car breaks down and it costs you $90 to get it fixed. All right, now you got $110 that you're going to pay. Now, the bank is not going to reject that. They're going to pay it, but they're not going to consider it a loan. Because if they consider it a loan, they're bound by certain regulations to how much interest they can charge you. Instead, they call it a fee, and they can charge between 1,000 and 3,000% interest on a late charge. Last year, American banks made over $28 billion on just late fees. And Congress is fully aware of this. All the members, Barney Frank and Dodd, all of them were fully aware that the banks have been gouging, making massive profits of people suffering. The average person doesn't want to bounce a check, and they don't want to pay 1,000% interest. But they're not the ones who hire the lobbyists, who have the deep pockets, who can promise legislators in the future comfortable jobs. Both Democrat and Republicans have betrayed the consumer. So anyone today in America, any human being who believes that our Congress is there to protect their interest, is naive. And simply stop using credit cards. Watch your balances. Make sure you don't overdraft on anything. I'm Gary Noll. That's all the time we have. We'll answer more tomorrow. Mike Fader coming up now. Please stay with us.
Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matt Bogart. All shows are archived by Joe Kemp. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Carol Lee.